Chapter 45. It was surprisingly easy to join the partisan group. Jin was given the name of a contact and the ship's slip number. She went to the ship, a mid-sized XO-1 cruiser, and introduced herself as Liana Halleck. When the captain of the XO-1 pressed her, she added the name of her contact and that she'd worked with Reese Amps before his arrest. Jin easily pointed out some of the ways she'd already worked with the group, altering logs. "I like that," the leader of a group, a Deveronian female named Blue, said. "You've worked with us before, but kept your tongue so silent we didn't even know it." More like Reese kept his tongue quiet because he didn't want me asking for a bigger cut by going directly to you, Jin said. Blue smiled. "Reese spoke the universal language of credits," she said. "You and I think, speak another tongue." She threw an arm around Jin's shoulders, her downy fur tickling the back of Jin's neck. Jin shook her head. "I just want to get paid," she said. Her stomach churned. She was caught between the Empire and a rebel group, and she hated it. Blue's group operated through the 5-point system, with a few runs beyond into neighboring solar systems. Despite the ship's size, the crew was small. Blue, Jin, a pair of Macella brothers, an older Krish pilot, and a mechanic whose species Jin couldn't identify and was too shy to ask. It was odd at first for Jin to be the only human, but she soon fell into a fairly easy camaraderie with the group. "You work quick," Blue commented as Jin uploaded a new manifest and set of clearance codes for the ship after the first week of flight. The ship had done nothing major, just a few legitimate cargo runs. Blue wanted to keep everything on the up and up after Reese Amp's arrest, just in case. "Thanks," Jin said. "I'm thinking we'll head to Watase next," she continued, taking a sip of caff from her thermal canteen. "Okay," Jin said. "But I don't want it to look like we went to Watase," she said. "Can the manifest say Hirera instead?" "Sure." Jin reached for her code replicator. She paused. It didn't matter. The Imperial tracking code had already been uploaded in the ship's mainframe. Admiral Rockwin knew exactly where the ship was going and where it had been. But if Blue was taking her to the headquarters, Jin's participation with the group would be over sooner rather than later. "What's on Watase?" she asked. "A job," Blue said simply. Watase was surrounded by an Imperial blockade. "Time to see if those clearance codes of yours work, girl," said Shawburn, the pilot of Blue's ship. "They'll work," Jin said confidently. "In part because they've got a true Imperial tag." There was a tense silence as the ship was scanned. Then docking clearance flashed over their comm screen. "Good work," Blue said in a soft voice, dropping a big hand on Jin's shoulder and giving it a comforting squeeze. The job, it turned out, was unloading the crates that had been in storage on the freighter. Each crate was full of foodstuffs. Not very appetizing, but a full round of nutrients and easily distributable to the locals.
"Thank you, thank you,"
the man who accepted the delivery kept saying. His cheeks were hollowed, and he had a gaunt look about him. Blue had the crew work as quickly as possible, unloading and helping with the distribution in a small makeshift town. They were back in the air as soon as possible. "What was wrong with them?" Jin asked.
"What do you mean?" Blue countered.
"The people. They looked like they were starving." The Krish pilot looked at Jin with wide eyes.
"Because they were," she said. "Why do you think we were bringing them food?"
Jin frowned down at the table. "The Empire wants that part of Watase for their own resources, so they're trying to starve them out," Blue said. "They've cut them off from importing any food. That was the first shipment they've had in a standard month. Dwinden said they've been softening tree bark to fill their bellies. The foodstuffs we gave them should help."
Jin felt something in her heart, a stabbing sensation, like a knife twisting. She looked down at the code replicator in her hand. She had already infected the ship with the Empire's tracker. It was done. There was no going back.
And why can't they just help themselves? Jin thought savagely.
How many times had the Empire done this sort of thing? Forcing a company out of business, taking over an area?
They could have just left.
They didn't need Blue. They needed to leave. If there was one lesson Jin had learned, it was simply this. Whenever the Empire or the Rebellion showed up at your door, the best thing you could do was run. That evening, Jin took a view screen uploaded with old holodramas and curled up on the bench behind the table. The day's mission had struck a chord with everyone, and it was quiet on board the ship. She felt Shawburn's eyes watching her.
What?
She asked, looking up from the viewer. Shawburn smiled wistfully.
You remind me of Bardby, she said.
The name, strangely, seemed a little familiar to Jin.
Who is Bardby? She asked.
He was a member of our crew. Got captured on Ukineo after a mission went sour. He used to lay on that bench after missions, just like you're doing. Well, not just like. He was a Wraith, long and slender, with these membranes.
Shawburn kept reminiscing, but Jin felt sick to her stomach. She knew Bardby.
Anyway, we have not heard from him since his arrest, Shawburn said.
Jin had heard from him. Jin had heard his screams. Berta, the ship's mechanic, was watching Jin and Shawburn as well, looking up from a spare catalyzer she'd been working on.
Don't think you're taking Bardby's place, she growled.
I don't, Jin said quietly.
She's not, Shawburn said in a louder voice.
Besides, Bardby didn't work codes. We hired him out. Liana's got a right to be here.
Jin internally cringed. Shawburn was sticking up for her, and she didn't even know her real name. Berta rolled her eyes. Black oil stained her lavender skin as she rubbed a spot on her forehead.
That's what all humans think, she muttered.
Shawburn turned back to Jin.
Don't mind her, she grumbled. That one has it in for any humans.
I don't see any Krish in the Empire,
Berta shot back.
Or any Deveronians or anyone else.
I don't work for... I'm not Imperial, Jin sputtered weakly. No one's saying you are,
Shawburn said, shooting Berta a dark look.
I have wondered,
Berta said, as if Jin hadn't spoken.
What this galaxy would be like without humans. Would the Krish have left their homeworld?
She said, jerking her head toward the pilot.
Would I have been on a ship soaring through space?
Other species have interstellar travel, Jin protested. That didn't just come from humans.
The humans never would have figured it out if not for...
Berta cut her off.
That's not what I mean. I mean...
she sighed heavily.
Humans spread.
Spread?
They're never happy. They're always moving, spreading out, taking new planets. Every settlement, every colony, every outpost in the Outer Rim. It's always humans, isn't it? It's always humans spreading across the galaxy, leeching away at the people and the plants and the animals and the worlds. And now there's the Empire and the Rebels. And while other species are a part of it, at the core, it's just more humans.
Some people, Jin said, would consider this a skill. Humans adapt. Got mountains? Build ridge crawlers. Too much water? Build scub subs. An ice planet. Use radiated eye girts.
people adapt.
Yes, Berta said. But should they? Either humans adapt, or they force the planet to adapt to them. This is not normal.
This was not an issue Jin had ever truly considered before. She thought of her family, her father mining crystals and working with the Empire until the planets could give him no more. But on the other hand, her mother trying to protect planets with legacy status, researching the Bancor refuge on Coruscant. And there was beauty out there, too. Jin ignored it, but if it hadn't been for her parents, she never would have seen the crystal caves of Owlpin. She wouldn't have stood on the island in Re and seen the meteors shower down as bits from the asteroid belt broke off and fell to the planet. She wouldn't have gone to school and tasted Bun, or seen a Bulba, or kissed Hatter. There are other species all across the galaxy, Jin protested. I couldn't even count all the different species on Coruscant. Berta waved her hand.
The exception, not the rule. Every species has the rare freak that wants to explore, to abandon their home world.
Including you? Berta looked sad for a moment.
Including me.